everyone's presence here. Of course, some of us could have taken this evening off, considering it is Mother's Day and whatnot, but I don't know about you. There's just no place I'd rather be but in the house of God, and it's truly a blessing. If you have your Bibles, for just a brief moment, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the chapters 3. I must admit that this is the two verses that I will read, my favorite verses in the Bible. I received an email from Brother Osborne who was sharing with me what the theme of this evening would be, and it was just so amazing how I was thinking, well, what will I share with my brothers and sisters on behalf of our God and Father? And he mentioned that the theme was knowing God and knowing Christ. And I said, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, because right before I got his email, I had actually selected the verses that I wanted to share, and it's right along in tune with what we have been singing about and reading about. Before we get started, I do want to solicit your prayers on behalf of my mother-in-law, Margaret Cleveland. She lives in Los Angeles, California. She has become very ill and has been in the hospital for the past few weeks. Some of you remember Tishna had to go home and be with her, but just continue to pray for her. She is not out of the woods. She is suffering from a litany of illnesses, including congestive heart failure and things of that nature. She had a couple of strokes, so just keep her in your prayers, please. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think I said something. Let's read it one more time. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. As I said, this is my favorite two verses in the Bible, because when you think about the fact that we are dealing with a spirit, which God is a spirit, that is infinite when it comes to wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Everything that we know about life, we know it because God revealed it unto us. But being finite creatures with such limited resource and understanding of knowledge, of course, he can only have disclosed so much. So when you think about the fact that the Bible being 66 books and made up of dozens of authors and consisting of, you know, at least three, maybe four or five different languages, it's like, well, where do I begin and what do I study and what do I read? Well, I just believe that if you grasp the concept of Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, that everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will work itself out as it relates to understanding exactly what it is that God would have us to do, to know and to understand. If I was going to title this, the title would be Know God, No Peace. Know God, No Peace. And some of you may be saying, well, what does that mean? The first two no's in that title is K-N-O-W, meaning to have a knowledge of or to know God. If you know God, you will know true peace. And Paul teaches us that in Philippians chapter 4. But when you have no God in your life, you can rest assured that you will have no peace in your life. And so living in a world where so much chaos is going on, so much hatred, you know, people seem to just be doing what they want to do when they want to do it. You have to ask yourself, well, how can we as Christians be so calm? Because we know that this world is not our home. We know that our home is somewhere beyond the azure blue, and we're going to one day be transformed to look exactly like our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where there will be no more tears, where there will be no more sorrow, where there will be no more suffering, where there will be no more pain, no more chaos, all of the things that we sometimes as human beings go through down here. And so just for a little while, I want to look at these particular verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Solomon is telling us to attach ourselves to God. Have confidence in God so that we will feel safe. This type of hope is based on a confident expectation as opposed to a constant anxiety. When you trust in God, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what's going on in your family life, regardless of what's going on in your marriage, regardless of what's going on in your employment or job situation, you can feel safe and rely on and believe in God. Oftentimes we get caught up, and I said this before, where everything that's going on around us tends to take our focus off God. But see, I'm attached to God just like I'm attached to my family. I don't look at other women. I don't want any other sons. I'm happy and I'm content with the family that God gave me, and I'm attached to them. So when you think about the fact, as Christians, we ought to be attached to God because we trust in him, and regardless of what's going on, we're not experiencing any anxiety about it. We're not worried about it. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the money that was in your account, the balance in your checkbook, was far less than the amount of bills that you had. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were waiting for a job to come through, and you were interviewing, you was online filling out applications, you were sending resumes all over the place, and you just, how am I going to get through this? And the bill collectors still want their money, but I don't have a job. When you trust in the Lord, Solomon says, you can relax and rest assured that help is on the way. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to support yourself. When the ladder is leaning against the building is supporting the ladder, and whatever weight will be applied to the ladder. He says, don't rely on yourself. Don't put confidence in yourself. And for that matter, don't put confidence in anyone else. How many of you know that you can't rely on anybody else to make you happy? How many of us have learned in this life that you can't rely on anyone else to supply your joy? I know some of us got married thinking that that spouse will fulfill that part of us that was empty. That's not the case. If you trust in the Lord and you believe in what God says and you don't rely on yourself or anyone else, but you have supreme, ultimate dependence on God, then you will find a way to experience joy and happiness for many, many years in the relationship that you're in. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Some of us are too smart for our own goods, Brother Osborne. Some of us know so much. And I got a 13-year-old. He knows so much and have no idea that he doesn't know anything at all. Amen. I said, son, I'm 45 and I don't know much. So how can you be 13? He says, the Proverbs writer says, don't lean on your own insight. Don't lean on your own prudence. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Don't rely on your own skills. I know that our society has propped us up and put little letters behind some of our names or little letters before our names. But the Bible teaches us trust in God. Don't necessarily trust in that education. Now, don't get me wrong. I am pro-education. I think without education, you're lost before you even get started. However, I'm wise enough to know that any knowledge or information or skills or education that I have, guess what? God gave it to me. And he's the source of everything that I have. And so we have to be careful that and just think about it. I'm raising a teenager now, and I just turned 13. And sometimes I just want to grab him by the neck. And I have to use restraint because I don't understand his thought process. When we were coming up, you know, we were different kind of, amen, by looking folks in here, my age or older, things were different. But kids today, we just, you know, we don't always see eye to eye. But I have to realize it's not necessarily my job to understand what that 13-year-old is thinking. My job is to trust in the Lord, to raise him up in the fear, the admonition of the Lord, to teach him the right way to go, to teach him the Bible, to lead him to Christ, and just know that God will do what he's going to do. And so we have to be careful that we don't, you know, trust in the things around us and get caught up trying to understand everything. I don't understand women. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I do. But what I do know is that I love and appreciate my wife. She's invaluable to me. All of you mothers, again, happy Mother's Day. What you guys do is invaluable. But we don't always understand you, do we, brother? We don't always understand your thought process. You guys tend to be a little bit more emotional than we are. We're a little bit more straightforward. However, the truth being is, I know and I'm happy that God blessed me with the wife he blessed me with. I prayed for many years. I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And because of the wife I chose, trust in the Lord, I know that everything will be okay. We don't always see eye to eye, but I know that I'm not leaning on my own understanding to get us through the many years of marriage. I'm understanding that God has put this union together. And because of that, it's the right thing in my life. It says, if you don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, notice he said, in all of your ways. He says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. When you're trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, that doesn't leave any of your heart for anything else. If I say, well, bring me the pie, son. He said, well, Dad, do you want a piece? I said, no, I want all of the pie. That means bring me the entire thing. That's the whole. God wants our whole heart. Because he knows if he has our whole heart, and of course, I'm referring to the heart of our mind, not the vessel that pumps blood throughout the body. If he has our heart, then he has us. If we trust him, then we'll make the right decisions, even with the limited understanding that we have. He says, trust with all of your heart and in all of your ways. In everything that we do, the Bible says, acknowledge him. To recognize that he is real, to recognize that he is true, to recognize that he exists. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of this throughout times where I've trusted in God with some of my heart. When times are tough and you don't see all the angles and you're trying to figure things out and you're coming to church and you're praying and you're singing and you're giving, but things don't seem to be lining up as quickly as you like them to be, sometimes we tend to go out and maybe get a little counseling from the therapist. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is God says, acknowledge him in all of your ways. What does that mean? Well, if you're going to see a therapist, prior to going into the office, pray that the information they share with you to help you deal with whatever you're going through comes through that individual from the Lord. He says, in all your ways, not some of your ways. We tend to sometimes like to put God in a box. We tend to sometimes like to put Jesus in a box, and then we'll use it when it's convenient for us. But when you're trusting in all of your ways, that's financial, that's relationship-wise, that's parent, being a spouse, employment, whatever it is that you're going through in this walk of life, God is encouraging us to trust me. I tell my sons, you may not understand everything that Dad does. You may not understand everything that Mom does, but trust us. Everything that we do is in your best interest. Everything that we do because we love you, because we want the best for you, because it's our job to protect you. They don't like discipline, just like some of us don't like the discipline of God. But just like God, I'm correcting them possibly to save their lives, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Again, I know some of us, when we're in that tensed situation and that moment comes and we're trying to communicate with someone, it's difficult to always trust God because this person is getting under my skin today. They're on my last nerve right now. We're not seeing eye to eye on this situation. It's hard. But the Proverbs writer is saying, if you trust God, you will have peace. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that at the young age of 45, I just got peace. I used to hear the old folks say, I thank God I'm in my right mind. You ever heard that? I thank God I'm in my right mind and that I have peace. All of us are going to go home tonight and we're going to sleep in peace without bombs being exploded over our heads. Think about that. There's a very slim chance that anyone will come into any of our homes and terrorize us and threaten to kill us because we profess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's a blessing. I don't know why we were born as Americans and other folks were born in other war-ravaged countries. All I know is I thank God. I can remember one time last year, as a matter of fact, I was doing business with a particular company and a particular individual, and our values didn't line up. And this person obviously was not someone that was a Bible believer. And when I realized that he was going to take complete advantage of me if I didn't do something, I just walked away from the business venture, a business venture that quite possibly could have made me a lot of money. And he didn't like that. And so he sued me in the court of law. We're talking about a company that does in excess of $25 million a year. Needless to say, I did not have the financial resources to fight this lawsuit. But you know what? For the 6 months that I was receiving correspondence, threatening to take everything I had, which is not much, you know, threatening to sue me for everything, I slept like a baby, because what I knew is that my father would take care of it. I knew that I trusted in God and I had peace. And a friend of mine with a master's degree from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, not a law degree, just an MBA, and her and I sat down and we did some research online and we found lawsuits similar to the one that was being, pressed against me, and we were able to send off the documentation where he realized there's really nothing I can do here. He dropped the lawsuit. I didn't spend one dime on the legal fees. Not that I had it. The point of the matter is, every day when I came home, I realized that regardless of what happens, regardless of what he doesn't do anything that God won't allow him to do. And that's what Jesus told Pontius Pilate. The only power you have is the power that my Heavenly Father gives you. So, brother and sister, I just want you to understand, when you really get to know God, when you really get to know his son Jesus, you will know true peace. And you cannot do that aside from studying his word. You cannot do that aside from having an intimate relationship with him. All we know about our Heavenly Father has been recorded right here. But some of us don't take the time to actually sit down and study what he has said to us during the week. So when we get in a little hot water, when we face a challenge or difficulties, oftentimes we will do everything but trust God. What we have to do is acquire the knowledge about him, and then we will acknowledge him in everything. The same God that saved you from foreclosure 5-10 years ago can save you now. The same God that gave you the employment or job that you may have lost or walked away from, he can give you another one. Think about how we treat our children, and you'll understand a little bit of how God loves and treats us. We give them what they need. We protect them. We love them. Well, God wants to do the same thing. If you're here this evening and you haven't been trusting him, and you haven't allowed yourself to get to know God, if you've been married for any amount of time, let's just say T and I are approaching 15 years. If you've been married for 10, 15, 20 years, there's a really good chance you know your spouse, right or wrong. Why? Because you spend time with them. My wife is my best friend. You probably eat with them nightly. You travel with them. You vacation with them. God wants to be the preeminent one in our lives and have that type of relationship. Wherever we go, whatever we do, every single day of our lives, we ought to be acknowledging God's existence, his realness, the fact that he cannot lie, and that he saved us by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, when you get to that point, nothing can rattle your feathers so much that you will stop coming to worship, that you'll stop praising, that you'll stop singing, that you'll just lose all control and you know, turn to substances or things that are not good for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you're here this evening and you know, as a Christian, you have not been trusting and you need to repent. There's nothing wrong with repenting. Matter of fact, we cannot be saved without repentance. I heard one of our politicians say he's never repented, but he's a Christian. I said, I don't know how that works. You know, we have to repent. We have to hear God's word, believe it, just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and then we have to repent. And sometimes we feel like, well, I've been added to the body of Christ. I've been baptized. My work is done. Well, we're not perfect. Being a Christian does not make us perfect. We should be maturing more and more day by day. But if you have not lived a life according to the scriptures, then simply repent. We will pray for you. The Bible says God will forgive you. If you're sitting here and you've never been baptized, The Bible says that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried on the Friday, and he rose up again on Sunday for your salvation and mine. Acts chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. If you believe that story, now you're a candidate for baptism, but you have to repent and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Romans chapter 8 teaches us that we have to confess with our mouth and then live the lifestyle. And then we could be baptized for the remission of our sins, to be added to the body of Christ, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If that is your desire, we want to invite you now as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.